This gentleman has been in Las Vegas for the last month. And, you know, I thought we were going to be having a little rendezvous. I thought we were going to be having a little get-together. And I thought for the second straight year, we'd be watching all sorts of conference tournament games. We'd be breaking down brackets. We'd be maybe having a dinner or two, a beverage or two. And all of those plans went out the window, obviously, when you found out that Rudy Gobert had tested positive and all of the craziness with COVID-19, but he's still out in Las Vegas. I know he's dying to get back to action. We welcome in the great James Alberino, the founder of SpreadInvested.com. James, what's happening, bro? How you surviving? What's shaking?
Look, it's weird. It's a different Vegas trip when you fly and you touch down, and then 3 days later, every major U.S. sport is shut down. You got to figure out what the hell to do. But that's how this one went, and this is an extended trip. So now it's interesting being out here and just waiting things out. It was very weird seeing the strip completely desolate the first week, but we got the NFL draft next week and a little bit of optimism around some other leagues. So there's good signs all around now.
James, before we get to the draft, because you're out in Vegas right now, you gotta set the stage for everybody who's listening, who's been there, you know, tons of times, and you know what it's like. It's popping. There's a buzz. There's crowds. There's people all over the place. How eerie was it for you the first time you were maybe driving or walking along that strip and there was nobody out there?
It was weird, man. Look, I wasn't on the strip when it was completely desolate. It was at that point where I said, you know what, I'm going to start taking this seriously. The sports books are closed, and I don't want to be touching chips and being in a casino. So I was there the day after they canceled the conference tournaments and everything. And you still had people in the conferences because you still had people that were staying out there, and they had extended stays, you know, maybe for another 3-4 days. They weren't going to get kicked out. But the occupancy was just going down and down by the day. So I would say there was probably 30% of the traffic on the strip when I was there. And, man, when you're there and there's nice weather and you don't see people walking around with drinks and you know, you could actually go there and kind of run a jogging path. It was weird. Being there a bunch of times in prime time Vegas, yeah, this was very weird and something I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Now, as we move closer and closer to sports, listen, we're all kind of brainstorming in what this is all going to look like. Are we talking about games, you know, being played in, like, venue settings, like in Arizona for baseball? You know, maybe the NBA takes over one particular city. But, like, this great unknown, James. Like, you don't know. I don't know. I don't think any of us know until it becomes official. But what I want to know from you is, how are you taking this time to maybe, like, reassess, you know, once things do come back, strategies, the opportunity that could be out there for a handicapper or a sports bettor or, you know, guys who are going to be ready to hit the ground running? Like, do you think that if you're doing your research and your homework now, there's a way for you to be very much ahead of the curve?
Oh, man, I think there's a huge opportunity at the end of this tunnel. Look, this all sucks, and you know, even for me, the first couple of weeks was more about cleaning up mess and figuring out next move, handling business things on the back end. But once that it was over and it's like, okay, the next move, you have extra time to study. This is the only time in history, probably in our lifetime, where we're going to have months on end inside the house where if you discipline yourself, watch a couple highlights of a player that you've been looking at and didn't have time for. You could look up numbers and data from the previous NFL season, get ahead on that. There's different NBA analytics you could look at. I think for right now, anybody who is in the handicapping industry or anybody who wants to be per se, you have an opportunity right now to get ahead because these months, the second major U.S. sports start back up again, you're going to have people starving for sports, and you're going to have people that need a reason to cheer. And anybody who's giving them winners is going to be big. And even if you just do this, you know, as a regular sports bettor, yeah, it's a great opportunity, and it's going to be a big time once things start rolling around again.
When it comes to handicapping the NFL, we know what a challenge, James, it can be week in and week out. There are going to be some really good weeks. There are going to be some really bad weeks. I'm curious, though. Do you think that, you know, maybe the lack of an OTAs or guys basically training at home, or maybe it's a late start to training camp? Who the hell knows? I hope this doesn't happen, but maybe it's a later start to the year. I mean, we got free agency. We got new head coaches. You may have some new quarterbacks. How is that going to impact, you think, the way me and you and anybody out there is going to handicap a sport like the NFL?
I think it's likely that training camps get pushed back, but even if they don't, missing OTAs and mini camps are huge. Any team that's in a new system, new head coach, they have a new quarterback, they're going to be behind the eight ball no matter how talented they are. So when week one rolls around, I think you're going to see a lot of unders, especially a lot of first half unders. I think that the market, the betting market, is going to experience something that they've never seen before, in that you're going to have a different approach to all these teams. And you might have really talented teams that they struggle for the first month, and then the betting market's going to be off them. And then let's say October, November, when they start ramping up, then there's opportunity to back those teams. So NFL to professional bettors is a lot of guys say it's the hardest, and that can certainly be. I think this year is going to present more opportunity than ever.
Fascinating. So let's get this straight. And I agree with you 1,000%, might I add. I think September, would you agree on this? September this year, if games start, that first four pack of games in a 16-game season is going to be more maybe of a throwaway than ever before, James, because of, you know, like some teams getting off the slow starts, trying to figure out who is like ready to hit the ground running, who's not ready to hit the ground running. Like from a talented team standpoint, where you believe in what they have, are you going to be taking those first four games maybe as seriously as you normally would?
No, I definitely am. Look, we're still going to be able to see some things on preseason. Maybe we get one, two preseason games. We'll be able to see something and get a gauge of talent. But, you know, the same way every year, we also read training camp reports and we get an estimate of where teams are. We'll have that same feeling right before the season, and we'll have a sense for, okay, this guy's like Phillip Rivers going to the Colts. He's a veteran. He's got to learn that offense, and he's got, all right, even if he knows the offense well and can do a lot off the field, he still has to have the chemistry down with T.Y. Hilton and Marlon Mack and all these guys. So I think you definitely play it strategically and look at it as a unique month in September.
We got James Alberino. He's out in Las Vegas right now, the founder of Spread Investor, my good buddy from Place Your Bets over at SNY, and of course, the Morning Line. He came on with us each and every football Sunday. James, I'm fired up for the draft. Listen, it's been a month now. We've been dying, hoping, praying to have something to react to. We got that now with this draft. And listen, I don't know about you, this is probably going to be the most heavily watched draft that I think we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair to say it's probably going to be the most heavily wagered on draft we have ever seen. Like, how much have you been in the lab the last week or two, like, looking at some of these lines, trying to find some value? I'm sure that's been, like, your primary focus. It's got to be right there.
Yeah. Look, you know, usually this time of the year, I'm shifting from March Madness to NBA playoffs, but I'm diving deep into the NFL draft. I think there's a lot of prop bets that do have value, and this is a market that isn't taking advantage of enough. And now, you know, again, the extra time, yeah, there's definitely some bets on my end.
Okay, let's ask about Herbert and Tua, because, you know, the recent buzz over the last 2 weeks, James, has been that Justin Herbert is moving past Tua, that teams are scared off by Tua's injury history. Now, you and I watch a ton of college football. We know the deal. I mean, when these guys are on the field, they're not even close to me as players. I mean, Tua blows Herbert out of the water as far as I'm concerned. But is this a question of the smoke screens being out there? Is this a question of, you know, a lot of these networks trying to fill information? You know, they're trying to get people talking. Or do you buy the idea that Herbert right now at this point is going to be the second quarterback taken in this draft?
Well, look, if you're any media network, you want to create this talk and the suspense between Herbert and Tua. And if you're either the Dolphins, the Lions, the Chargers, you want to send messages, quote unquote, leak things out that gives information contrary to who you actually want to draft. Tannenbaum, former VP of the Miami Dolphins, all of a sudden 2 weeks ago says that the Dolphins and teams are concerned with Tua's medical report. Yeah, because maybe the Dolphins want to draft Tua either at 5 or they want to trade up and get him at 3. Look, Tua, I think the risk is worth the reward. I think for him with the Lions, I think you could see a scenario where the Lions now try to drive up the price. They know Miami has the assets with 3 first-round picks. I think there is a very realistic scenario where you see the Dolphins make a move, trade up to 3, and you have Tua as the second quarterback drafted right after Joe Burrow.
Okay, now there are so many props to look at with this draft. Specifically, though, there might be one or two that stands out above all. What are the one or two props, James, that you have seen immediately that have caught your eye?
I like Tristan Wirfs going to the Giants at plus 200. Look, they're going to take a tackle. It's either going to be Wirfs or Wills. I can't see it being Becton. There were a couple of questions with him, not loving the game as much as some of these other tackles. But, yeah, the Giants, I'd be very surprised if they don't go O-tackle. So,
are you okay with that, James? You're a Giant fan. Let me ask you right now. I think it's a fine pick. I have no problem if they go with an offensive tackle. But what are your feelings on Isaiah Simmons? Would you prefer Simmons over one of the tackles?
He's a generational player. You could play him outside linebacker as an edge rusher. He can cover slot wide receivers. He could cover a running back. He ran a 4.5 40. I think he's a really difficult player to pass up on. I actually want him on the Giants. I just don't think that that's where he's going to go. I think the Giants have invested too much in their offense the last 2 years in the draft to now go on the other side of the ball, even though they have so many holes. I mean, the Giants are going to have to – I want the Giants to trade back pick 4 because 3, 5, and 6, they're not going after an offensive tackle. So trade back, which is something that Gettleman's never done. Who knows what he's going to do in this draft? If you trade back, yeah, grab an extra player. You need him.
Okay, now you look at the Jets. Obviously, you're hearing offensive tackle if one of the big 4 guys is going to be there, or you're hearing about a wide receiver. I would go with the tackle if one of those 4 guys are there, James, just because this draft is so loaded and so deep at wide receiver. I do believe you can get yourself a star in the second and the third round. I think it's that deep. I think it's that loaded. But just looking at the odds right now, is there one particular player? You mentioned Wirfs being the guy more than likely for the Giants at plus 200. Do you have a particular play maybe for the Jets?
Well, it's going to be interesting because the Broncos are actually trying to trade up and I think get ahead of that cluster of Jets, Raiders, and 49ers. Who are all looking potentially to draft wide receivers. So if the Jets are that first team that still drafts that does need a receiver, I think they go Jerry Jeudy. CeeDee Lamb wouldn't be the wrong pick at all. They're both studs. I think they still get one or two of them. You know, even if the Broncos do jump ahead of them, the Jets might not get their guy who's circled one, but get either Lamb or Jeudy.
Lamb or Jeudy. Now, Henry Ruggs has been a guy. I don't know if you've seen this, James. He has, like, made his move in, like, all of these mock drafts. And I watched him. And listen, he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. I don't know how people watched him, though, James, at college, and would all of a sudden take him over a guy like Jeudy. Like, he, to me, was not the best receiver on his team. No way.
No, he doesn't have the hands that Jeudy has. He doesn't run the routes. He's incredibly fast. You know, a lot of things get sensationalized these weeks leading up to the draft, and especially when you compare players to current NFL players. And the second he gets linked to Tyreek Hill, wow, now Henry Ruggs is potentially one of the first receiver off the board. I think he is the third. A guy that I love in this draft that I think could be grouped right behind CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy is Jefferson, Justin Jefferson at LSU. First off, his numbers and what he did on film with Joe Burrow last year were unbelievable. His 40's great. He's very athletic, long. I like him. And then, you know, even later in the first round, Chase Claypool, the kid from Notre Dame, he reminds me a lot of Keenan Allen. He's tall. He runs very good routes. He's a big red zone threat. So I agree completely with you, man. There's a lot of wide receiver depth. If the Jets do surprise people and take a tackle, There's going to be a lot of talent still left in the second round.
All right, James, before we get you out of here, you know this draft means a ton for me. It is going to be like my Super Bowl. I'm going to be turning the phone off. I don't want any spoilers. I feel like I have the game, you know, like 10 minutes behind on DVR. Because you know how it works at the draft, bro. I mean, people are tweeting out picks. People are getting information. Yep. So at least for the first Dolphin pick, I'm going to go zero dark 30. Gut feel, brother. And maybe I'm just looking for some positive vibes here. Am I going to be satisfied with the quarterback? Am I going to get the guy I want? Or am I going to be yelling and screaming going viral if they end up with Justin Herbert? What's your gut right now?
Look, my gut tells me that the Dolphins do whatever they have to do to go get Tua. Whether that's make a move and make a trade and get into that three spot to jump everybody who needs a quarterback aside from the Bengals. Or if the Lions asking price is too much and the Lions go with Okuda and Tua falls to Miami at 5. I don't believe the smokescreen that the medical report is that concerning for Tua, because again, his upside is so worth it. And if you're the Miami Dolphins, you have the leverage of having so many draft picks in this draft. You could do something with the 18th pick. You could do something with the 25th pick. Nothing that another team can do. And you could take one of those, package it, and I think you go get Tua, because if Tua, let's say, long-term is going to have health problems, okay, then in the bridge situation, you still have Fitzpatrick. You still can plug in somebody, and it's not at all as lost. So I think, you do get Tua. And there's going to be a lot of phone calls within organizations in the top 3, 4, 5 over the next couple days.
James Alberino, spreadinvestor.com. He's going to be very, very busy next week. And James, I'm hoping and praying that we're going to be very, very busy in the weeks and the months ahead. So you stay strong. It's great to have you on the show. I know the audience kind of has that good vibe when they hear your voice because, you know, they're thinking of those happy football Sundays and Fridays and all these days. You know, James, not for nothing, I wouldn't mind yelling and screaming about a bad beat. I'd even take that right now.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know.
Remember you yelling and screaming about the Lions? Like, wouldn't you want to relive that day? I would take that in a heartbeat, as bad as it was.
I tell you, man, I've never researched a draft more so than this year. Like, football highlights are my saving grace in this. I eat. I watch some movies. And I watch football. That's what gets me through this thing.
Well, James, you sound like an NFL executive. What can I tell you? You stay safe out there. I'm looking forward at some point to having a few beers with you soon. We'll do this again soon. Don't you worry. Keep up the good work, and we'll chat soon, all right?
All right, brother. Talk soon.
There you have it. That's the great James Alberino, the founder over at spreadinvested.com. Talking me off the ledge a little bit. I can only help.